For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let me start this afternoon by saying it is not my fault that I was tardy. We went to Perkins, and the group I was with, they asked the waitress, is it possible for us to get our food real quick? And I laughed because she said, absolutely. And so at 1 o'clock, our food came out to us, but I guess that may be quick in the eyes of the staff there. But neither way, we shall not be later in going on with our lesson. It is a pleasure for me to be here with you all this year. I guess I can say I'm an official resident of West Virginia. Now that we've been there a little over a year and a half now, my family and I have enjoyed it. My subject given to me today is the 115th Division of Psalm. As we prepare to look at that text, and I will be sticking primarily with the lecture as it is recorded in the book, but I believe after some national circumstances, I will use this as an introduction. We as a people of God need to recognize who we serve. We serve God and God alone. We are in the midst of turmoil right now as a nation of the United States of America. Let me say first and foremost, my allegiance is to God, not to this nation. My allegiance is to God. And it's interesting how many Christians have taken to the airways to take a stance over someone kneeling for the playing of the national anthem. But yet, they will sit idly by as two men engage in the holy estate of matrimony. It is interesting how many Christians will get all up in arms over someone kneeling while the national anthem is being played. But yet, they have no problem sitting right next to an adulterer who has married another woman. I stand for Christ. I stand for the doctrine of the Lord's church. My allegiance is to Christ. America has a lot of wrongs to correct, and we don't need to go back because I would be in chains. We need to move forward to being the people that God desires us to be. And my plea is for we as Christians to recognize we have brethren all over the world, and our allegiance should be to God and God alone. God deserves the glory. After Job went through his whole transition of questioning God, I like the question that God replied to him with, where were you? We need to recognize that none of us would be here today if it was not for the glory of our God, if it was not for the goodness of our God, for we did not make ourselves. We were formed from the dust of the ground by our God when he created mankind as we know it. And if anyone deserves glory, if anyone deserves praise, it is our God who sits on high and looks down low. And so many will look at the tragedies going on in the world today and they will say, my goodness, what is going on? And recognize that is not a new cry. For the souls under the altar in the book of Revelation said, how long, O Lord? He said, hold on, just a little while longer. There are some souls in Moundsville that need to hear the word of God. There are some souls in Chester that need to hear the word of God. Or wherever we're coming from, there are some souls that still need to hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With that in mind, we need to recognize that when we take a look at the world around us, Paul has already given us an idea of what's going on. In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. I like the way the Bible said it, so you can't accuse me of calling you a fool. They became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God, listen to the words that are used, into a lie, and worshiped and served the Creator more, the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men working with men thing that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this is a result of their actions. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, evil things, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but unfortunately, do you realize in the world we're living in how many people are having pleasure in them? We need to be on guard. We need to recognize what it means to glorify our God. For there is none other like him on the face of the earth or even above the earth. There is no God like the one we serve. To our text, if you will, Psalm 115, let us consider verses 1 through 3. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I thank Terry for preaching part of this for me this morning. I won't have to expound on it too much. That's the beauty of the Word of God. We can expound on the same text and walk away with a whole new message. We need to understand that our God has assured us and given his people a great victory. Well, Rico, we're still fighting. We have obtained a great victory. Well, I've never seen it. Read the book of Revelation. We're studying that now in Chester. And I've assured the congregation that that is our book. The world doesn't understand Revelation, but that book belongs to us as Christians. No way can a Baptist understand it. No way can a Methodist understand it. God knows a Catholic could never understand it. But we who are members of the Lord's church, we know what it's all about. We're not looking for some seven-headed beast walking around saying boo, but we're looking at the tragedies going on in the world and the forces that are at work, and we know that our God is going to obtain victory. My friends, when we put in the proper perspective, we learn that we must take the seat furthest to the back of our God. We cannot compete with him. We cannot compete against him. It is in our best interest just to honor him, recognize him, and glorify his holy name. We wear his name to glorify him and not to obtain glory for ourselves. We shine forth as a result primarily of his glory and not to obtain the praise of men. So many today want you to recognize who they are by their titles. The greatest title I could have ever achieved is hearing my Lord say, servant. When he calls me servant, I will know that it has all been worth the living. Servant, well done. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, enter ye in, and I'll make you ruler over many. I don't care. I love to tell people that love to flaunt their titles, that have earned legitimate doctorates, that I've earned my doctorates as well. I've got two of them. I bought them online for $35 a piece. And so it's not a matter of earning degrees, but earning a rightful position in the sight of our God. And I want you to understand that while the world may ridicule our God, We simply redeem him. The heathen and the unknowledgeable will often mock us in our God, to which we simply respond by drawing nearer to our God. While God's timing may not be in accordance with our demands, he will respond in due time as a result of his love, but primarily his faithfulness. As the souls cried out, "O Lord, how long?" we must remind ourselves that he will act when all should be glorified and fulfilled. While we wait, we must remember that our God reigns on high and he looks down low. It is the false gods and gods of this world that give empty hope and provide a mirage of dreams and fantasies, while the true living God has proven himself countless times again and again throughout the ages. Notice how God has given distinct glory and distinct honor. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. "Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens glory and honor, and his presence strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him, and worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Daniel made it very clear that all of the population of earth is as nothing when compared with the power of God, and that there is no one or force with the ability to stop or even delay the actions of our God. Quite simply, as the heathen rage, we should joyfully engage in glorifying our God. In our text, let us consider verses 4 down through verse number 8. The Bible says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." You know, I heard a story that once went like this. A lady used to watch her neighbor hang out clothes every week, and she would often say, "Why is it that that lady is hanging out dirty clothes to dry?" Well, summation of the story, her neighbor's clothes were clean every week. She, on the other hand, forgot that she needed to clean her windows. So many times we often look out without doing a self-perspective of ourselves to see exactly where are we as the body of Christ. Speaking quite frankly, as we look in the mirror, I want you to know that modern-day churches of Christ, we have become lazy. We have become lazy in our duty. We have become lax in what we're supposed to do. Do you remember the day that you could not say a word about the Church of Christ and not have a Christian stand up to defend her? But nowadays, say whatever you may. Well, that's your opinion and I'm entitled to mine. No, I'm entitled to fact. You're entitled to opinion. I stand up for the body of Christ. I let people know if there's a way to get Rico fighting mad, you talk about the Lord's church. Why? Because of what he's done for me. And if I have that much joy in being a member of the Lord's church, so should each of us. And defending the cause of Christ, we have to realize that now more than ever, we as faithful members of the Lord's church need to glorify our God. And we glorify him by standing up and defending the word of God. Sometimes people will say, "Well, there's really not a difference between you and that other religion." I quickly point out, yes, it is. My Lord does not have more than one wife. He has only one wife, and it is his church. His church obeys his word. Well, Rico, you're being confrontational. Call it what it is, and I'll call you a coward. I'm going to defend the word of God with every iota of strength in my body. I'll tell the Pope to his face, take the dress off and put on some pants and learn how to read that book. We got to understand that now we need to stand up and defend the word of God. We have to understand, my friends, the world is searching. They're searching for the truth, but too many times we're hidden. Too many times we're quiet. We don't want to let people know how we feel. I want you to know if John has no problem holding Mike's hand in public, I have no problem affectionately kissing my wife in public, and I double dog, double dare you to say anything to me, because I'm going to open up the Word of God on you and show you what is acceptable in the sight of God. We have now taken a role in the Lord's church where we sit back quietly and watch our neighborhoods go demise. We talk about our government, but we don't exercise our right to change our government. Too many times, instead of being proactive, we're reactive. And recognize, my friends, we fight with every ounce of our body, biblical body, so that we can defend the Word of God. The Bible helps us to understand, my friends, that the heathen seem to taunt the God who made the heavens and the earth, while their idol gods could not exist without the creations of God. The idols are made of earthly metals by earthly hands established by the God of heaven. But yet these gods are to be some sort or fashion of competition. How can the created compete with the Creator? It does not seem to be logical or reasonable to make such an assertion. Jeremiah provided some insight when comparing the living gods with the dead gods. Jeremiah 10:1-6. Hear the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. There must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. When we consider the gods of the heathen, note the following observations. They have mouths, but guess what? They cannot speak or communicate with their worshipers. They have eyes, but cannot see their worshipers to meet their needs. They have ears, but they cannot hear their prayers and their requests. They have noses, but they have no sense of smell. They have hands, but cannot raise their arms. They have legs and feet, but still cannot change their position. Interestingly, the ones who form the idols are just as useless and senseless as the idols that they have created. And we need to recognize that if we don't tell people the truth, who will? In contrast, when we compare the God of the Bible with the false gods of this world, his characteristics speak for themselves. Where are their gods? Whereas their gods could not speak, our God has spoken on numerous occasions, and now he comes up in the volume of the book. Whereas their gods have no eyes to offer protection and no ears to hear their request, our gods are over us, and his ears are open unto our prayers. Whereas their gods have noses with no senses, our God desires a sacrifice as a sweet-smelling savor. Whereas their gods have hands with no usage, our God's fingers made the universe, and his arm is revealing. Whereas their gods have feet and cannot move, our God carries and walks with us where he would have us to go. It's a very sad summation when the false gods that are served have no reward, but they leave their followers further blind to the light of the gospel and to deaf, being deaf to the voice of our God. Idols are the deified acknowledgments, if you will, of mankind's own frailties and our own desires, while God's people will understand and recognize the importance and impact of his story. My friends, the world reveals its own history when the gods it serves are brought to the light. Idols are the works of men's hands, and therefore they are simply inferior. It would only make sense for the creation, idols that is, to worship their creator, mankind that is. But unfortunately, idolatry is all the worse because it is practiced in reverse. Verses 9 through 11 of our text. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Why? He is their help and their shield. It is interesting to me that people will buy a ticket load their luggage, board an airplane, fasten their seatbelt, and put full faith in a human being on board an aircraft made and engineered by man with full confidence and trust. But yet, when it comes to God, I have reservations. Interesting how we as human beings operate. When we consider the track record of our God versus man, the competition was over before it even began, my friends, because man could not exist without God. The idea that many waver in their trust of our God is startling when we face the fact that trust is encompassed by God. We are directed to trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trusting in God is easier path to travel when we recognize the power of his loving kindness, his judgment, and his righteousness. We must know that it is God who breathed the breath of life into man, into our bodies, to make us a living soul. And it was not through any knowledge or power of our own. Why is it that man seeks to make trusting God in some extraordinary event while the mere acknowledgement of the devil is common practice? I respond by stating that it is simply a result of man not knowing whom they ought to serve. Trusting in man is understandably a hesitant action. But to the contrary, my friends, the act of trusting in God is a holy event, for he alone is worthy of all the trust that man could muster up. But he simply requires our obedience to parallel our trust in him. One of the many benefits that modern day man has is that the Bible provides countless records of the life of Christ and events that surround him, while those who existed when he walked the earth relied solely on belief and faith. One such account is that of the Samaritan woman at the well. She had directed a direct conversation and interaction with our Lord and was able to draw the conclusion that he was the Christ based on the preponderance amount of evidence available to prove who Christ was, but more importantly, who he is. And the fact that these events are recorded exclusively in the Bible, what more could be desired in order for one to place full and put full trust and the God Almighty? Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth has been revealed to us in the form of Christ. It is the truth through the truth, my friends, that we have access to in the gift of the Spirit. Trusting in God goes way beyond just a certain aspect or facet of our life, but it truly entails us placing the entirety of our existence in the trust and hands of God. Israel did it. Aaron did it, and I pray we recognize the benefit of us all doing it. The psalmist recorded, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they which do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. When we stop resisting and we learn to trust and obey him, we have assurance that our God will fight for us, take our feet out of the miry clay, and set our feet on dry ground. The blessed assurance of our God, verses 12 through verse 15 of Psalm 115. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and made earth. Every child of God ought to have security in their soul, which can only be profitable if their soul is secure. This security can only be achieved as a result of having a peace of mind. It is that peace that passeth all understanding and is able to keep our hearts and our minds through and by our Lord. It is then and only then we're able to know with certainty that we have been blessed assuredly by our God and through our God, no matter the size of the challenge, the opponent, the victory, or the weapon. My friends, it is through the small and the great that we both learn to appreciate what God has done and is doing for us. While man may be impressed with the assets, money, property, and status that one may obtain, it is truly wise to learn that it is praises to God that we must all proclaim. Man is impressed by the simplest of things, but it is not so with God. For instance, money does not impress him because he owns it all. The highest degrees of education do not impress him because he knows everything. Civic, fraternal, political, or social positions do not impress him because before we were, he was. He always will be, and he is. It truly indeed is a blessing that both the small and the great are the same in his sight. His blessings are reserved for no particular people, but those that fear and obey him. God indeed loves us all. For if there were no great ones, there would be no small. He has done everything according to his own divine will. He has blessed both the great and the small, for it is he that has made us all. There are many great people that stand out in the Bible, but they are dwarfed in comparison to the small people that God made greater. Whether it was David the shepherd boy, the widow and her two mites, or Zacchaeus, that short old tax man. God has always used people, whether great or small, to do greater or larger things in life to bring glory to his name. And I put forward to you, he desires to use us today to bring more glory to his name. It is the human nature. It is human nature to allow money, prestige, pride, and power to remove the focus from our Father. But no, it is divine guidance to subdue worldly aspirations for heavenly gain. If we permit our possessions to blind us, we can in no way blame God when we do not see him right in front of us. According to Paul, we would be wise to know we are assuredly blessed to call. But unto them, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised God hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring not things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. As a direct result of our blessed assurance, we give all honor and all glory to God, because the scriptures fortify our faith by helping us to know a few things about our faith in God. We give glory to God, one, because we have the Spirit of power. We know in whom we have believed. We are no longer separated from God. We keep his word, and thereby we keep him. We are enabled to draw nearer. We know that all things will work out. What God has given, we know that we have. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. What is your commitment to praise? Verses 16 down through 18. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. It is apparent the significance of the word bless stands out. It is used 6 times in the 115th division of Psalms. I know that man cannot exist or live without the blessings of God, but we must know that it is only just for us, his creation, to bless him. We do this in part by ascribing all glory and praise to our Father. We bring joy to the heart of God with our giving of thanks and obedience. According to Genesis chapter 2, God made the earth and all that is therein to meet the needs and desires of man, and even permitted man to have a role in the development of his creations in the works with the works of his hands. He has given us, that is man, dominion over the earth, and it is a tragedy what we have done with that trust. As a whole, we have forgotten that we are the created and not the creator. Jesus accurately declared, "Let the dead bury the dead," in Matthew 8, but it is a sad commentary when the people who serve and worship dead idols do not realize that they also are dead men walking. Though God from heaven reigns and rules everywhere, he has given us the earth to man as a temporary home. He has given us knowledge and skills to take care of our earthly home while instilling in us the proper path to get to our everlasting and our eternal home. But what poor managers we have been. For Isaiah rightfully declared, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. It still holds true today. We must know that the best hope for mankind is to yield to our landlord's desires for our destiny and yield to the wisdom of his will. We ought to be grateful that our Lord has been mindful of us and glorify his name for the sins that he forgives, the needs that he supplies, the mercy we are able to enjoy, the fears he removes, the hopes that he is fulfilling. But most of all, we give God the glory for the Savior that he sent, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us learn how to assuredly give God, not some, not partial, but give God all of the glory that we could ascribe to him. May God bless you. May God keep you.